Hello and welcome to episode 26 of Life in Hex. I'm Gelada.
And I'm Sefran.
And we have no housekeeping.
Well, that was very quick.
Were you impressed?
So yeah, we've got no housekeeping, but apart from that, and apart from that it's not cold in here because I turned the radiator on. We're not going to do the live section first because you've got like I-29 and
I-29 to talk about.
So what we're going to do is we're going to see how, you know, the show pans out, and then if we've got enough time, we'll talk about I-29.
Yes.
If not, you'll do some form
stuff.
We shall. So would you like to start with the anime section?
I would indeed, Maestro.
Okay. Go for it.
So yeah, jumping straight into anime.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, well, episode, I do that every time.
Yep.
I'm going to talk about a manga. And it's a manga volume 1, so it's kind of like almost a preview to the series.
Right.
Because it's only first volume.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a series which I'm sure a few people have heard of, because I know Proen watched it religiously.
All right.
Because it was an anime. Is an anime, rather. And it's just been the manga version has just been released in the UK.
Yep.
And it's a series called Air Gear. Right, now. So it's only the first volume if it's been released in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you can probably get scanlations of it on the internet, but that's not the point.
Probably.
And basically, what it is, right?
Mm.
You'll like this.
Okay.
Do you remember that Xbox game, Jet Set Radio Future?
I remember it very well.
It's great, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's great fun. You know, you go around like Tokyo on your roller skates.
It's like Tony Hawk's, but on roller skates.
Yeah, pretty much, and cel shaded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Which is pretty cool.
Tricks are very simplified to pressing just one or two buttons.
They were.
So no fancy like button combinations. Great game.
Mm-hmm.
It's that.
Oh, wow.
Pretty much
that. I noticed from the picture on Anime News Network, there was like a picture of a guy in rollerblades,
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah,
so I thought,
that's the main character.
Yeah.
Because it's really cool because what the idea of it is, I'm jumping actually straight into the brief outline of the story instead of actually talking about the normal stuff first.
Yeah, yeah.
Or we can do that later.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he the outlying theme of the series, mm-hmm, is about the use of these things called air treks, or ATs, just
right,
for short, right? Mm-hmm. Not ATTs, like in Star Wars.
I was about to say.
I thought you might.
Yeah.
And basically, they're rollerblades, mm-hmm, so like inline rollerblades, but with motors in them.
Uh-huh.
And super powerful motors as well.
Ooh, nuclear-powered. Mm.
They're not nuclear-powered.
Are they not like nuclear batteries?
No. Don't think so.
Okay.
It might be. I don't know. But they've got motors in them, and mm-hmm, they go very, very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of the slogan is that it makes you fly.
Mm-hmm.
In the fact that if you're going down like a slope or whatever, and then you come off it, because you're going so fast, because, mm-hmm, of these motors within your air treks, it makes you just launch off. And it's really cool. So you don't, no longer you have to skate, you know, oh god, all that uncivilized movement of your legs, screw that, nurse.
Yeah.
All you do is just go forward and it does it for you.
That's quite cool.
The actual story itself is based around a character called Iki. Also, his name, full name's Itsuki.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a girl's name. Did you know?
No.
It's mostly a girl's name.
All right.
It can be a boy's name, obviously.
Because it is in this case.
Yep. But it's more often a girl's name. So it's kind of a unisex name.
Yep.
And he's living with his three sisters.
Because
they're technically not his sisters.
Right.
They're these people he lives with, who his parents used to know, but both the girl's parents and his parents have died.
Mm-hmm.
So they all live together.
Uh-huh.
Kind of. It's when I first saw it, I thought they were all brothers and sisters, and I got a bit worried when they started getting a bit of incest.
Well,
it's not incest. It's not actual incest.
All right, okay.
And I was just getting a bit worried at first because I didn't understand the story, but then I was like, oh, it's fine, actually. They're not
that's
related.
All right. It's not really incest.
They're not related. They're just like friends.
Panic over.
Yeah, quite. And it's about him and his friends, and then these girls all getting into like this air trek scene, and they become storm riders, which is like the idea of, you know how, you know,
but there's so many Star Trek similarities, like 80s storm. I mean, come on.
you probably liked it, the guy who made this. You probably like Star Wars,
probably,
but he gets into this whole scene of it. And it's a bit like, you know, in, for example, Jet Set Radio Future, you know, the idea of taking turf.
Uh-huh.
You know, like turf wars, as they call it.
Don't you mean Leave to Become?
And Leave to Become.
Was it in Jet Set Radio Future as
well?
Yeah,
you had to take up different areas, you know, to challenges with an area to make it yours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like kind of like that, and they've got to do certain things, they go off against each other, and they battle it out, etc.
Yep.
So it's like that, and at the moment, because it's only manga volume 1,
yep,
there's not been any story development, so to speak. It's just been the idea of character developments and getting him into the AT scene.
Mm-hmm.
Air Trek scene.
Yeah.
Just making sure you knew where that was.
Yeah.
He's just starting out and everything, and I'm sure he's going to advance further in the second volume when it comes out.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So that's kind of the basic outline of it. So let's talk more about the manga itself.
Yep.
Now, the manga was made by... Now, the publisher's... guy made it. He goes under the alias of Oh Great.
Right.
He has done for a while, and he has done some other things. He's called Oh Great, or the production house, or whatever, the group of people.
The story and art. And,
And basically, it's very good, and the artwork is great. It's really very crisp and advanced. There's no lacking in surrounding areas. So there's no kind of like shoddy artwork for the background. There's no shoddy action lines. It all looks very nice.
Mm-hmm.
They do a different take on the action scenes, though.
All right.
Like, for example, when they're going around, like on their air tricks, for example, in a manga, how do you simulate someone going fast using rollerblades?
This is very true.
The way they do it, and to show
speed lines.
They use speed lines, of course.
Yeah.
But the way to show the way they're going, and kind of like the actions they're taking, they show several shots of the same character in one panel.
Ah.
See how the characters are doing... So, you know in cartoons, you know, when you flick the page?
And yeah.
Instead of having all separate pages each time, it's all on the same page.
Yeah, I get what you mean, yeah.
So it shows what the character's doing without actually making the move, because it's a manga.
Yeah,
it would
be tricky.
So, anime, no problem.
No problem, we can do that.
Manga... bit trickier.
Yeah, just so that's a few subtle flaws, technical limitations there.
So they do that trick, and it works quite well, and it makes it look very nice. The art style's really nice. It's very realistic, but at the same time, not boring. Mm. And it's just really nice. I think the artwork's really nice. It's not your typical kind of crappy artwork. It's not really difficult to understand artwork. It's really nice, and it's nice for first comers.
Mm, cool.
However, I have got a few gripes with it.
Right.
One gripe is the story. Now, I know I said the story's cool. It's a little bit shallow.
Uh-huh.
From volume one, at least. I'm not going off what's seen on the anime, because I've seen a few the anime episodes as well.
Oh, okay.
I'm going off what I've seen from volume one, and I can see it being shallow.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be about a few kids doing some stuff, mm-hmm. you know, and there's not going to be any major character development. There's not going to be any major deep emotional scenes, etc.
Yeah.
Like you would get in some manga, like, you know, Evangelion, for example, like I was talking about last episode.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a letdown. And there's a letdown in the fact that the translation's not been great.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, when it gets translated from Japanese to English, you know, the translators don't do a direct translation.
They use their own interpretation and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And... they do it with, I mean, do you remember that review I did on Battle Club?
Yeah.
Right, which I did, which I just slaughtered. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not as bad as that.
Sales of Battle Club just went down, plummeted after that episode.
I know, I'm
we got contact. We got contacted, you know, by whoever it was. That's the ones. And they said, don't stop, you know.
I'm so influential in the manga world.
I mean, it's just amazing how, you know, the fluctuation, stock and share prices just go up and down each show, every fortnight.
Everything
I mean,
we say.
It's just amazing.
I know.
The amount of weight we carry is just phenomenal.
It's such a hard life.
Yeah, I know. It's to come to the decisions about, you know, how to give a review a certain rating. And
we could just sit there.
Seven. Wake up. Yeah. Seven.
Oh, wait, is Seven. This a dream? Oh. Oh, wow. So, was I dreaming there?
Yes, you were.
Oh. Okay, so maybe it's not that big of a deal. But if you remember, I kind of laid into it a bit.
You did.
And it's similar to how this is, because like they've tried to play on the idea that it's street and it's hip and it's like in the hood and all that rubbish.
Willow.
You know, because it's based in like a more urbanized Japan, and it's you know, kids hanging out, etc. So they've tried to appeal to like...
Asbos. And
Asbos?
Yeah, Asbos. Okay, not in Japan, but fine.
So, yeah, the translation's not great because they've tried to make it very cool, very hip and everything. But in the way they've done it, it made it kind of, yeah, sure, that's good and everything. But I don't like the way they're talking, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Which is a shame because that does really detract from kind of like the emotion and the immersion within to the series. And it kind of like puts you off, which is why, unfortunately, I'm only going to give it a 6 out of 10.
Ah.
Now, although 6 out of 10 is above average...
It is.
Because 5 is average.
It's average.
It's a good series, don't get me wrong. Mm. But it is killed by a few of these like down points, which is a shame. Mm. So it's by no means perfect. But it's definitely a good series. And it probably might pick up. It's only volume 1 I'm basing this on. Because this is just a review of volume 1, not the series.
Mm.
So far, it's not all right series. But hopefully it'll pick up. So check it out. go to your local manga store, your local bookstore. If you've got a comic book store, like some big cities have in the UK, great, go to
them. And in the US or whatever.
In the US, of course, if you're listening in the US.
Or in Japan, of course.
if you're Japanese and you're listening, you own me.
Yeah.
Go and check it out. Good manga. Go to get it at your local manga retailer.
If you're interested in the idea and the story.
Yes, and if you like the game Jet Set Radio Future, you'll fucking love this manga.
Cool.
And that's enough from me.
Indeed. Now I've got a tech section. Now this kind of, I'll be honest, this idea, this topic, kind of spurred from yesterday. I haven't been planning this at all. I haven't sort of been researching this deeply.
Which is a shame.
Yes. So my topic for today is web-based jukeboxes or web-based music libraries.
Ooh.
Now, this is not something everyone knows about. You know, this is not a well-known thing.
Someone said web-based jukeboxes, you wouldn't have a clue what you're on about.
Yeah, exactly.
In general.
Now, this is all stemmed from us using one of these. I'm going through three different web-based jukeboxes. There are a lot. And I'm going through three of the ones that I found that seem quite good for different reasons. Now, at the Life in Hex Lands, we use one called Tunes, which is spelled T-U-N-E-Z.
So go and Google it.
Yep. I've got a link as well when I come onto it. And we've used that for the music at the Lands so that people can vote, etc.
Since episode Life in Hex Land 3, I believe.
Yes. And that just basically allows us to, like, play music while listening, like vote for music, jump it on there. But anyway, I'll get into that in a minute.
We also whore it.
So web-based jukeboxes or music libraries are a web-based view of looking at your music, which is kind of obvious from the name. Now, say you have a server like me, Tomb Raider or whatever, or you have a media center or anything like that.
Yep.
Especially if it's Linux-based, you can run Apache, which is the Linux web server. And then you can run one of these web-based jukeboxes, and they allow you to do different things, but essentially most of them allow you to view your music on a website. Theoretically, you could stream it over the internet. You could stream it anywhere in the house, in different places, and they're all stored centrally, and you can just use any media player that plays web links, because that's all they're going to be.
So, you know, Windows Media Player, Winamp, etc.
Some of them also can link with something like Icecast, which allows you to have a centralized stream, if you like, for everyone, which Tunes uses. And what this means is that if you have one playlist of songs, when people connect up to the web-based music library jukebox thing or whatever, you connect up to Icecast, which is a audio streaming utility, and everyone hears the same thing. You can also then make that re-encode it so that, say, if you do want to listen to it over the internet but you don't quite have a very fast connection like here for upload, then you can re-encode it to a lower quality so that you can hear it over the internet. So you can go to school and fire up your web browser, bingo, there's your music library, and you're streaming it.
It's a good idea.
I've done it before, many times at school.
Saves you to, like, carry your iPod around.
I've done it many times at school. The only problem is quality is shit. If someone's using your internet connection, it buffers like hell, etc.
Get off the internet, Mum.
Yeah. So the three I'm going to go through are Ampachi, MP3 Act, and, as previously mentioned, Tunes. First of all, Ampachi. Now, this does not really feature the Icecast streaming type method. It is in there under a thing called Local Play, and that is essentially moving towards the web-based jukebox, which is where the server is actually playing the music. It could be a media center or whatever. So it's got a stereo hooked up to it, and you connect to the web-based system, much like we were doing with Tomb Raider, and you choose what songs to play, and the jukebox plays it. So it's literally like having a jukebox, but instead of having
it's got a web-based interface.
The album viewing and the way of viewing by albums and artwork and everything is really, really nice. When you click on an album, it gives you some album art that it's downloaded. It can also find that in the folders that it's got. It will give you some information, title, artists, etc. It will give you all a list in the track order, which is quite surprising for a web-based music library, believe me, of all the songs, and you can click to select them all, and then you can go play songs. By default, what this will then do is make a playlist. It will send you the playlist, and then you can open the playlist and it will play those songs, literally streaming them off as like a file server would. It's basically no different. The other main thing that I noticed about Ampachi was that you could have catalogues of music. So you could have different catalogues. So say, for example, for the LAN, we have a LAN folder, don't we, on Tomb Raider, where we can put, everyone can just come to the LAN, they've brought their computer, they've got all their music on their computer, they can just dump it on Tomb Raider, make a folder or whatever, do what they like, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
It can be MP3, WMA or whatever, because we use Tunes, and I update Tunes, and bingo, all the music's there, blah, blah, blah.
No problem.
So you can have that as one catalogue. But then I also have my own music on Tomb Raider as part of my documents backup. It also happens to back up all of my music. So I could then create another catalogue for that. And then while everyone's at the LANs and voting for music, my music wouldn't get chucked in there as well. You could tell it only to play the LAN music.
So you could keep it separate. So stuff you don't want people listening to.
Exactly.
For whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get played.
And you can also restrict users by, you know, what they can do and everything.
Exactly.
I noticed that the user control was very good on Ampachi. You could restrict people to just look at music or whatever, etc. The main thing that I found was that the documentation was rubbish.
Well, what... I didn't think there was any.
There basically isn't any documentation. I think I saw some, but to be honest, the main place I looked was the website. I went onto the wiki, and the whole of the wiki didn't work.
So that's a load of use.
There may have been some on there, but to be honest, I didn't find it. And the administration is very counterintuitive. When you go, like, site preferences, you get the same thing as if you go user preferences. And I was like, well, which one is it? You know. And there is support for Icecast and also MPD, which is a music player daemon. And that's what you can set it to play as songs or whatever, and then you can have clients connect to it, much like Icecast.
Yeah.
But good luck getting it to work, because...
So it's kind of like a awesome web-based jukebox, which is great, and you want to use it, but you can't because it doesn't really work.
Yeah, you can listen to music specifically, and you can make up playlists, and you can save playlists, etc. But it, once that playlist is finished that you've statically created, it's just going to stop, and you're going to have to go, I've got to make another playlist, blah, blah, blah.
Which you can't be asked to do.
With the other ones, with Tunes or whatever, you can keep adding to the playlist, and it will just keep going through the playlist as you add more and more to it, and then when it's done, it hits to random play or whatever.
Which all should do, because, I mean, you don't want your music just stopping, do you?
Exactly.
Although we do have that sometimes on the Tunes, but that's because of Tomb Raider, not because of the program.
Yeah. But there is also a Flash-based player in Ampachi, so you can actually play stuff, you can queue the playlist up in a little Flash player that's embedded on the
site. Which is quicker and easier than...
And it's very nice.
But still.
Mm. So that's all right for if you want just playlists, and if you can get the Icecast and thing to work. You probably can. It's there, so it probably works. Now, the second one is MP3 Act, which is mp3act.net. Now, this is Ajax-based, which is very nice. I'm good to see some Ajax here. And so, because if you're running it on a local server, you're going to have, like, instant Ajax. Because normally Ajax has got a bit of a delay. You know, when you're doing stuff, you see it load and everything. But if you've got it on, like, Tomb Raider, in our case, it's just fucking instant. It's like running an application. It really is that quick.
Yeah, exactly.
And the interface is really clean. I showed this to you, and it's like
it's nice, clean, and easy. It's quick. There's no messing around.
And you know, you can just search for stuff. It will come up. There's fairly nice album art display and that sort of thing. Works really well. And it does have a playlist mode, which is, as I said, you know, you queue up a certain amount of stuff. Again, sorting your playlists and stuff, really intuitive. It saves it as you're going through pages. And then you can play that, and it will make a .pls file, you can load that up, and bingo, you're playing all of those songs. I also know that it's got great user features. If you log on, you can have a different playlist to other people, so you can have your most commonly used playlists, that sort of thing. It does have statistics and all this sort of thing, blah, blah, blah. However, it has no Icecast support, full stop. There's no module
Which
or anything.
Really, it's its killer.
Yeah, it's its killer. It does have a jukebox mode. Now, what this does is you can give it the command to run to play a song. So, like, it could be, say it was user bin music player, and then the name of the file. You could do that, and it would play it. Theoretically, this would work for us at the LANs, for Tomb Raider, because I could tell it just to play to XMMS, and it would just make XMMS play.
Yeah.
It also can re-encode into MP3 and all that sort of thing. But it doesn't have Icecast support, so you can't, you know, then do that in a more versatile way.
Like we want to.
Mm. Because Icecast, at the end of the day, fucking owns.
Yeah.
You know, Icecast can do so much. It's just insane. So that's really, really, really nice interface. It really sprung out to me as like, wow, this is a really cool interface. But again, same limitations as Ampachi. There's no Icecast support, and there's no MPD support. There is a jukebox support, but I couldn't get it to work, but I'm sure it does. But again, playlist support, really nice. Really good way of viewing all of your music and sort of looking through it all. And
yeah.
So that's got a really nice interface. Now, the final one, which I'm going to heavily look into because we use it and I recommend to people because it's awesome, is Tunes. Now, at first, it seems so buggy when you install this. You're like, this is just hacked together because it looks a mess. And yeah. The code looks a mess. But it's actually surprisingly stable. It's able to handle a large amount of music very easily. With Ampatchy, I told it to add all of the music in the LAN folder. Bad idea. It sat there for about 6 minutes using up 100% CPU on Tomb Raider. Huh? It actually sat there forever.
Why?
It must have been reading the ID3 tags and everything, and it just took forever. It crashed Firefox. It just wasn't happy
just
at all.
Just died.
MP3 Act also did a similar thing, although it didn't sit there quite as long. Tunes, so quick. You know, you go update database or whatever, and bingo, there it all goes.
Yeah, because, I mean, as is we've done at our LANs, mm-hmm. you know, we get, say, when we had Zata come round, mm-hmm. he dumped his music. No, he didn't. Did
no,
he
didn't. Inmate.
Was Inmate. It was Inmate. Him. That's it. He came around. He dumped what was it, 18 gig of music or
he
something.
Well, it couldn't be 18 gig. He dumped like 1,000 songs, basically.
He dumped shitloads of songs on there, and you know that's a lot. And on like Ampatchy or MP3 Act, or whatever, you'd be like, oh my god, that's too much. And but tuned you like refresh, allow, done.
Yeah, it literally was.
That's it.
Yeah. The main problem with Tunes compared to certainly Ampatchy, adding new music folders is hell. There is actually an option where you can, like, you've got a list, you've got about 5 text boxes where you can add some directories. It doesn't work quite like that. You have to first put it in a config file and then add it into this and then enable it and then it works. So I suggest you keep your music in the same folder. It does work through subdirectories. So at the end of the day, you know, you can just give it a folder and it'll just plow through the whole lot until it finds
everything.
But it
doesn't like separate folders.
It also didn't particularly like strange file permissions.
Right.
So I've got some rather nifty little file permissions on Tomb Raider when you're connecting over the Windows file shares.
Yeah.
So it did have a problem with that, because bear in mind these are all running from Apache. So at the end of the day, they're all going to have Apache's permissions. Mm. And you've probably not got your music in your webroot folder. You've probably got it somewhere else. In my case, I've got it on the RAID, which is in a different place.
Yeah.
So it did have issues with that. Every time someone adds new music, just to be on the safe side, I said it so that everyone can read from it and everyone can write to it.
Yeah.
Because I know what was quite cool about this, actually, you can edit ID3 tags for songs in Tunes and actually sync them back to the files. It's also got some, you know, you can remove songs from random play, but people can still vote for them. The other thing is that deleting seems a bit weird. When you try and delete from the database, it doesn't. It sort of marks it for deletion. I'm an admin, so I can see that it's been marked for deletion.
Yeah.
I'm not actually sure what happens on everyone else. I think everyone else, it does disappear, but for me, it's a bit weird.
Yeah, it says it's been deleted, but obviously it
hasn't. The other thing is that it has a really, I think, in my opinion, it's got a really ugly interface. The colouring is just nasty.
No, it's just white, black, and a bit of orange.
Yeah, but it's just, there's something not quite right about it. Compared to Ampatchy and MP3 Act.
Which should look nice.
Mm, it's just not.
But it's functional.
It is functional and it works.
It depends on what you're really going for.
The other thing is that it has a very clunky vote system. You can only vote for one song at a time unless you're an admin. You can't vote for a whole album or something.
Oh,
admittedly,
right,
this does stop people whoring, like, because you could theoretically go like
all
the way
still
down.
Managed to do it by just searching for all the songs he wants and going vote,
just going
vote,
click, click,
vote,
click,
vote,
click,
vote,
yeah.
Vote.
If you click fast enough. But it has a full like chart system, and if you didn't fuck up the file file ownerships like me, because like I force everyone to use LAN, for example, it would actually tell you who uploaded a certain song. So if you logged on as Sephron and Prone logged on as Prone or whatever, when you go on a song, it'd actually say uploaded by Prone.
Yeah, so you know.
It also has a basic file upload through web feature, but that's just shit. If you wanted to upload 1,000 songs, you'd just be there forever.
Yeah.
It has random play. Let's see, I'll just run through some of these things. But yeah, the main thing is that it's got full Icecast support. Cannot stress this enough. Full Icecast support.
It's important, people.
This is important because Icecast rules. It does run through a bit of a Perl hack, and like I couldn't get it to work at first. It needs some crazy config files. But once you've actually got your config files, you can actually do anything. I had at one point where I was running Tunes, and I was re-encoding it in Icecast through three different bit rates.
What?
So I had like one bit rate for the LAN, one bit rate for the internet, and then another one if it was like desperate internet, like, you know, I had torrents running accidentally, and it would just do it. It would just pipe it to Icecast. Icecast was just filtering them all, sorting it all, and it still had the tags and everything on all of them.
That's really good.
And I was impressed with that. I thought that was pretty good. I know Icecast can do it, but the fact that Tunes could do it as well with its hacked Perl thing, I was impressed
with that.
There's also jukebox mode, very similar to the jukebox mode in the other thing. You can tell it to directly play to an application.
Yeah.
Or you can actually tell it to directly output to a sound card. And you can actually have, there's fucking volume control in it. We don't use it, but there's actually remote volume control in that little web-based thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for us because I haven't set it to re-encode and stuff. Yeah. But I just go onto VNC and change the volume.
Yeah, just do that that way. Or just stand up and change the speakers on Tomb Raider.
Yeah, it has a good voting system. You know, if more than one person votes for something, it pushes it up to the top.
Yeah.
And you can unvote for stuff and all that sort of thing, and you can skip random play.
But and then you, because your admin can skip songs.
I can skip everything as well. Yeah, just to piss everyone off.
Well, no, but some people vote for like Pro and always votes for fucking crappy Japanese songs that sound like chipmunks.
Yeah. The main thing that is really noticeable against this over the others is that when you view a whole album, it's pathetic. There's no album art. Album description.
It's not very good at separating out different like genres or albums.
You need to know what you're looking for.
Yeah, you need to know the exact song what you're looking for. Otherwise, you're gonna be there thinking, oh well, yeah, that's a song. I don't know what it is, and I don't know where it's come from, but yeah, it's a song.
But anyway, I'm gonna wrap that up by saying that those three are very good. There are hundreds more. If you go onto Fresh Meat and search for music library, web-based music library thing, there are so many.
I'm sure there's so many many better ones than we've talked about today.
There probably are,
but these are three we've liked, well, you liked, and I've played around with tunes myself. So,
if you use any particular web-based music library that we haven't mentioned, then let us know and I'll give it a try. I've got web servers randomly set up in random places, so I can just try them. We can try them at a LAN or something and see what we think.
And we'll give a talk about it on a show whenever we get the suggestion.
Yep. Okay, we've got some music now. I'm going to shut up because I've been talking for too long. And this is from Mark D., because
we don't actually know how to pronounce his name.
It's like Mark Doiron or Mark Dwaran.
Dwaran or Dorian, or I'm not sure. Yeah. So,
but it's an absolutely awesome song. Go and check out his website that we'd have a link for. But
he actually has
got a website where we've forgotten it. So we'll put it on the web. We'll also link to his music.podshow page so that you can directly get the links, because they are actually some really good music. He's a keyboard singer-songwriter.
It's not exactly blues rock, is it?
No, it's not. It's
but it is under the blues rock genre.
It's almost like groove rocky stuff.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's really good. So listen to this.
Have a listen.
It's called Living for the Moment.
About my future, I get caught looking at the past. If my memory serves me correctly, a second chance don't come so fast. I can't stop the world from spinning. It's time for me to begin living for the moment. All her love, I pushed her away, but now I realize just what her message was. If you wanna be loved, you gotta let her in. It's time for me to begin living for the moment. Thank you.
what I love. My life must look like lots of fun, but bartender, I feel empty sometimes. He says, take my advice, son. These days are never coming back again, so just enjoy them while you can. Start living for the moment.
So yeah, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Ow. Hope you enjoyed that. We quite like it. Well, we know you love it.
I love it. I think it's awesome.
I think it's pretty good too.
Yep.
And I don't think I like it as much as you.
I'm going to sit down.
No, stand up.
No, I'm going to sit
just
down.
Just so this is, we're standing up at the moment.
Yeah, we are.
And we're sitting there, we're going, yeah.
Yeah.
We're standing up because we're professionals.
We are. Moving on to the gaming section.
We are indeed.
We are.
Moving on to the gaming section. And today, we have a review.
Ooh. That's a first.
We haven't had a review in a little while now.
We haven't.
Because lots of new games coming out. So, yeah, we're going to be doing a lot of reviews for the next few episodes. But today, we decided to do a review for the game Need for Speed Carbon. Let's just jump straight here in, shall we? Mm-hmm. Let's just give a little introduction to the game, although the game probably doesn't need any.
Not really.
Because Need for Speed has been around for God knows how long. The series has been going for quite a while now.
It has.
And Carbon is the newest installment into the series.
It is.
So, let's jump into gameplay.
We will. It is the same tried and tested formula built up from the rest of the Need for Speed series. So, Need for Speed, we're not going to even go into the list because it's so long.
Yep.
So, you know, you're racing around in cars that are souped up for cars.
They're
that you can
generally
get.
Cars you can buy.
But
so
then
it's not.
They're
and then you get souped up
versions and that.
So you can, like, buy, say, you know, you see a nice car on the street. Oh, that's a nice car. You have a car that you really like. You can just buy it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, like, Formula One cars. It's not, like, rally cars or anything like that. It's just normal road legal cars.
And then you can customize them with, like, aftermarket hoods and spoilers
exactly.
And tires and that sort of thing. So it's basically street racing. Well, it's not even basically street racing.
It is street racing. It's all street racing.
That's what it is, essentially. And they've added a few new things in Need for Speed Carbon.
They have. They've added some new versions of races.
Mm-hmm.
So there's different like things like the Speed Trap, I believe, is new.
Yeah, it is. Sort of the pursuit stuff has come from Most Wanted.
Yeah.
But they've also expanded on that with like the takedown or knockdown or whatever it's on
the
multiplayer.
The pursuit, knockdown or knock player.
That's
so
the one.
Each time one person at the back becomes the policeman and they have to follow them, etc.
Yep.
So yeah, there's that new kind of racing. There's also a new idea of territory capture.
Yep.
Now, I know they kind of had a similar system in some of the other games where you have to, like, you know, do certain races and then everything and then you progress in the game. But this is really is based on the idea of taking an area of the city
yeah.
and then owning it by your crew.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get onto crews later as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much emphasized the idea of in the career mode that you've got to take your territory.
You have, yeah.
And then you've got probably one of the most exaggerated features which they go after, which is
canyon runs.
Canyon runs.
Yes.
Do you want to explain them?
Yeah. Canyon runs are essentially kind of like sprints in the fact that they don't go round. They are just a one way.
Just one way go.
And they are usually downhill, down a canyon, usually very, very windy on cliffs. And some of the barriers around corners you can go off. You know, you can go off the edge and that loses the race, essentially.
Because you died.
And, yeah. And there are two cars, you and another car, which you are dueling with, essentially.
Yes.
It's called Canyon Duels. And there are two parts to Canyon Duels.
There are.
The first part is where, well, unless you're doing multiplayer, in which case it's reversed. But the first part is where you are having to keep up with your opponents. And the closer that you keep without touching him, the more points you score.
Exactly.
If you trail too far behind, a countdown will begin, and then you will lose the race, and that will be the end of the Canyon Duel.
And you've lost all completely.
Both parts, yeah. If you overtake, and you overtake sufficiently for 10 seconds or whatever, then again, that will complete the canyon duel,
and
including
you will
the
win regardless.
Yep. And if you collide while you are following someone, then you lose 5,000 points, which isn't much of a big deal at the end of the day. But if you're
following that close behind them and you're getting like points by the thousands anyway, it's not
exactly,
too bad.
But if you were like trying to pass someone and you hit them, say, three times as you were trying to pass them,
and then you fall back,
yeah, then you're in trouble.
You're going to be in trouble.
So there's a bit of an off weight of trying to overtake and just simply keeping behind.
I'd rather to keep behind unless I know I can really overtake them safely.
And obviously you can also try and push your opponent off the edge.
I don't know. I've never been able to push a CPU off the edge.
I've never been able to do it. I've never been able to push a CPU off the edge, but I think in multiplayer you probably can.
Probably can in multiplayer, yeah.
And then the second part of the canyon run is where basically it's reversed. And you start off with as many points as you accumulated, don't you?
Yeah, the first run is you accumulating points.
And then the second run...
And then the second run is your opponent getting rid of those points by staying close to you.
And so by the end of the race, if they've been further away from you than you were from them, they will have drained your points less than you earned them in the previous race, and so you win. If you end up with a negative amount of points, then they've
stayed... Well, the second you get a zero, you've lost,
even
if you're not finished the race yet.
Because they've stayed closer to you.
Than you did to them in the first run. So whoever does a better job of staying next to the person in front wins.
And again, if they overtake you in the second bit, then...
You lose, and if they fall too far behind, which is not likely, especially if you're playing against a computer, then you win.
Yeah. So that's... As you say, it's very exaggerated. They sort of, this whole thing, it's all settled in the canyon sort of thing. Yeah.
They really played a lot of, emphasis on this. There was two main selling points, I think, for the game. You had that and the autosculpt feature.
Yeah.
Which we'll come on to later.
But in my opinion, canyon runs are just glorified sprints against one person.
Are.
That's all it is. There's not much more to it than
that. I agree. I mean, I like them.
They are quite tense, I find.
They're difficult in a lot of places because... of the massively tight turns and the tight roads in general.
Yeah, they're not easy courses at all.
It's not, and you can't mess up. Because on a circuit, if you smack against a wall, big deal.
But if you smack
against a wall pretty badly in a canyon run, you're finished because you can't catch up and you're going to lose and it's just too hard. So you've got to try hard.
You have.
You've got to focus. And the last part of the gameplay-ish idea of everything is the idea of more simplified tuning.
Yeah, because in Need for Speed Underground 2, which is the other one that we've played extensively, you could choose your gear ratios, your torque, you could choose all your...
Torque to power, your weights, your brake bias. And everything like that.
But even more than just brake bias, you could also choose, but I can't even remember.
It was very realistic to what I can imagine.
And I mean, there was even a dynamo run type thing, wasn't there? Where you could see the graph of torque.
You could see what you were doing and everything. It was very much for your really enthusiastic and actual real racers
despite the fact that the game is actually a very arcadey game.
Exactly.
The physics are very arcadey, but yet they've got sort of massive tuning.
But in Carbon, what they've done is, I think, is really good.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it so much easier.
It does, yeah.
And it makes it more enjoyable as well. Mm. Is that when you select a new part, so be it an engine, be it the transmission, also, that's another point I would point out quickly. In Underground 2, for example, you had to buy separate parts for each different thing.
Well, you didn't have to, but you could.
You could do. Yeah. So you could buy like different types of parts for different aspects of the car. Whereas this is simply buy the new engine,
buy the
transmission.
And it's packages rather than
individual
pieces.
Before
you had packages, but you could also buy... Packages were essentially just a group of individual parts.
Yeah.
So they've just got rid of those individual bits. There's also, we haven't mentioned this, but there are three different groups of cars now.
That's a good point.
Now, admittedly, we mentioned this in when we talked about it, like the preview.
Like a previews of
so
it.
We're kind of going back on ourselves, so we'll just briefly say that there are three types of cars: muscles, exotics, and tuners.
Yeah.
And it's basically just a way of separating up the setting, the different types of cars.
Basically, yeah. It's just to make it seem a bit more in-depth than just whatever cars.
Yeah.
It also aids in the career mode, because you end up... Each territory has different sets of cars
he
uses.
You are right.
And again, basically, like we said before, tuners, your basic road cars that you see around on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Your muscles are like your old American muscle cars, and the exotics are like the really expensive ones that, to get made.
Aston Martin DBI.
Yeah, things like Aston Martins and Lamborghinis and stuff like that.
Porsches
and everything. So, yeah, that's the idea. They kind of emphasized that as well, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Graphics?
Graphics. Now, it's very... we didn't give an overall gameplay.
Overall gameplay we said was about 8.
We agreed with that 8, because it's very good, and there's no real major faults for it.
But there's also no major improvements on the genre.
No,
they're
not
still
really.
Sticking to what works.
7 or 8, really.
Mm-hmm.
So graphics, now, it's a very pretty game.
It is.
It's a really, really pretty game. But one thing we have to mention straight away is the excessive motion blur.
Yeah, it is so obviously geared towards the Xbox 360, which has excessive motion blur on everything.
Which is the idea, because haven't they got like hardware for the Xbox 360 designed to do
pixel
it?
Pixel shader type stuff.
Exactly. So they're pushing it for that, and then they thought, well, let's just leave it in the PC version.
Mm-hmm. You can turn it off.
You can turn it off.
But then it looks a bit like Need for Speed Underground 2.
It really does, because I mean, we've seen it run on Higara, and it does just look like Underground 2. Mm. But if you play it on like a high-end, a more high-end computer, like, for example, myself, mine or yours, you can really see the excessive motion blur. Mm. And it looks all right.
You get used to it.
You get used to it, and you don't really notice it. But when I first played, then I was like, oh my God, is it cel-shaded or something?
It's an interesting effect, because the cars aren't motion blurred very much. Yours is ever so slightly, but mostly the others, the cars aren't.
Yeah.
And it's quite an interesting effect to see everything like blurring past you, but the cars are really crisp, and they're overly crisp around the edge.
It's an interesting effect. Not in a bad way, but it's definitely different.
Yeah.
And I think one of the highlights of the graphics, though, is the, as we've probably just talked about, is the massively detailed cars.
Yeah, they are quite heavily detailed, and they are very accurate and, you know, realistic looking. The proportions are all
they're perfect. I would say, I mean, the ones in Underground 2, for example, they look good. They but they weren't perfect. Ones in Carbon really do look just like their real counterparts.
They are really nice. I mean, I still would say that if you were looking for, you know, racing simulation type things of cars, you're looking more towards like Gran Turismo and stuff, which has even more accurate cars.
Yes,
I think the cars in that are just, I mean, they just look like photos in that. At least they don't look like photos in Need for Speed Carbon. But then Carbon has almost its own artwork style that stops them from looking realistic.
It does, and I agree. But I like it.
No, I like it as well. I think it looks good. I to be honest, I hate things like Gran Turismo. I hate racing simulations. Mm. I much prefer arcade
more
style.
Arcade
Need
style.
For Speed Underground 2, Ridge Racer, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, they look so nice, though. The car models, very highly detailed. Mm. And that leads us on to a little point, which is what they emphasised as well, along with the canyon runs.
But I hardly ever use, I always use the aftermarket rather than auto.
Which is not a bad idea, you know, because sometimes you can really mess it up.
Yeah.
And it's also in the career mode, it's very difficult to get it without getting the right crew member or something, which is confusing. Mm. That's the auto sculpting feature.
Yeah.
Now, basically what this is you can tell the computer the kind of parameters you want different parts of your car to be.
It's almost like the percentage that you want something stretched out or down, or how
in or out or whatever.
You know, how wide you want your spoiler, how tilted you want it, how far down you want the body to go, how big you want the rims, I don't
know. Roof scoop to be.
Roof scoop, yeah.
So yeah, it's very good. It means you can really and very easily customise your cars.
And it looks different to other cars.
Yeah, so all your cars look very different to each other, which is really nice. Mm. And one other comment about the graphics, which I mentioned, which you didn't agree with straight away, but then you looked at it properly and then you agreed, was the environments that you're racing in.
Yeah, the environments are.
Because they're quite pretty. Mm. I mean,
I still stand that the trees don't look right. There's some, I'm sure I read somewhere that the trees are nasty.
Just because you read it somewhere doesn't mean that it has to be your opinion.
Yeah, I know, but I haven't looked at the trees. That's the point, so I can only go on.
I think they look okay. They don't look perfect.
There's nothing wrong with the environment. I also like the way that objects, when you collide with objects, the way that they move, like the motion blur kicks off them, doesn't it? There's no motion blur on them. And there was something about the way that objects like go over the top of your car that you just don't see in like the Need for Speed Underground 2 or anything. It's really nice.
It does look good.
There's something about it that just like makes you go, that's good.
That's
the way the cars react when you hit them as well, they sort of go backwards and swerve around.
Yeah.
It's quite good. It's interesting.
It works.
It does.
Which is weird for a fact that it's arcade.
Yeah.
So it's really nice looking environments that you're racing in. And especially considering that they're not like the main focal point. Hey, at the time. It's not the main focal point of the idea. It's
emphasized by the motion blur.
Exactly. But they still look nice. Mm-hmm. If you stop and look around, it's nice. Mm. And one other thing is the special effects within the game. Mm. They're a little bit basic.
And the car damage, which also comes under special effects, is also very basic. You know, if you hit something, if you scrape a car on the back, you know, there will be some generic scrape.
Yes.
You know, and the windscreen will break and stuff. You compare it to something like Flat Out 2, where, you know, bits are flying off the car and stuff. That doesn't happen.
No.
And obviously, the damage doesn't stay, because that would ruin your sleek-looking car. Because Need for Speed Carbon is all about looking cool.
It's all about, you know, bling almost, respects.
Yeah. So we gave the graphics 8 out of 10 because, you know, they're good, but there's some excessive motion blur, and they could have done better on the car damage.
Yeah, they could have worked harder on it. But it does look nice.
Actually, the SFX, in comparison to another Xbox 360 game, which is Burnout, whichever one that was, Revenge or whatever, that had some really nice spark effects and flame effects and stuff.
Yes, it did.
And really, really, when you scraped against a wall, they were so nice.
They looked right.
And
whereas carbon
whacked them in carbon.
Carbon could have done it, no problem, but it didn't, which is a shame.
The sparks are just like feeble little.
Have I just smacked against like a barrier at like 170 miles an hour and I've just got like something off a lighter?
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't work as.
So, 8 out of 10 for the graphics. Sound?
Sound. No, I'll let you talk about this.
Okay. It is the usual EA tracks. I'm not sure if tracks stands for something. Probably not.
No, it's just their way of being hip.
Hip, yeah. So basically, you sort of like your electronica, your rap, and that sort of thing. And
yeah.
I mean, not really a way of describing it, I suppose. Hip-hop type stuff and that sort of thing. It's all right, but it, as you said, it does get boring after 5 minutes, you know. It's just...
I turn my own music on.
Yeah, I usually do.
I sling on a playlist onto Windows Media Player.
To be honest, I haven't played Carbon enough to get completely sick of the music, but Underground 2, for example, I turned the music off on that and used to just play my own. I used to just play some club stuff from
Underground 2 music was so much better
as well. It was better, yeah.
I mean, you had like some really nice sounding songs which you enjoyed listening to, but Carbon's music gets repetitive and boring.
Some of it's all right, actually. Some of it I quite like, but most of it is... really much more background than Underground.
Very generic.
I mean, it's no like GTA music, you know, like radio or
GTA exactly.
Type thing.
You don't listen to it. No. And often when you're driving, you can't even hear it half the time unless you turn the engine
really
sounds
loud,
down.
Which comes on to the cars have good realistic sounds. You know, the engine sounds are quite beefy and nice.
They're nice. And they also vary between cars as
they
well.
Do,
so
yeah.
If you're driving like a, I don't know, you say you're driving one of the Renault Clio Sports. It does sound like a Renault Clio Sports little engine would.
And also, finally, the voice acting in the movies, which actually, another point, back to the artwork thing, the movies, the artwork in the
beautiful.
Movies, really, really nice.
They're really
nice. So yeah, the voice acting is really good as well. But unfortunately, you know, the music does let it down a bit and, you know, they could have done better.
It's nothing special.
Yeah.
You're not going to be humming the tunes and everything, but blah. Mm. So we only give that a 6.
We do.
Which is better than average.
It is. It's still better than average. Presentation, which hasn't really got a rating.
No, you forgot to write the rating down.
Yep.
That.
Now, it's been ported to every single console that exists except the SNES and the NES.
Are you sure? I thought they did a SNES version of it.
They probably did.
They did an N-Gage version.
This is very true.
And they did a normal mobile phone
and
version.
A PSP version.
And a PSP version. How did they do a normal mobile phone version?
I don't know.
How do you present the game we've been playing upstairs into a mobile phone?
Okay, let me make you puzzle a bit more for the rest of the show. There's Oblivion on mobile phones.
What?
EA are being a bit of a whoremongers as well, because you have to purchase... Well, you have to purchase certain cars. There's cars on the EA website...
Which you can buy... Which, with the collector's edition, you can unlock.
Well, even without the collector's edition, you can unlock. We had a look, and they weren't actually
collector's
edition cars.
Yeah, because like, let's say McLaren SLR or something, you can unlock
you
normally.
You can actually unlock normally. So you have... You have
if
to purchase
you're, if
cars.
You're got too much money and you can't be asked to unlock them properly, you can buy them.
Or if you haven't got a PC, because if you've got a PC, there are other ways. Wink, wink, gamecopyworld.com. but there's also cars that still aren't available yet, such as the Pagani Zonda and the...
No, they are available, but only through EA Downloader. Only
if
you've got
Pagani
the
Zonda,
game.
The Pagani Zonda, you have to actually
the Pagani
buy the
Zonda
game
and the Dodge Challenger 1977 edition, I think it was. Something like that. I don't know.
You have to actually have bought the game from EA
you've
Downloader.
You've got to have the EA Downloader, and which is annoying.
But then there are still some, even then, that you just can't get yet, like your Toyota Corolla.
Well, I wanted the Toyota Corolla AE86 in homage to Initial D, which I've talked about before.
And you can only get that, you can only unlock that on the Japanese versions.
Well, we think. We're not sure.
Think.
I have no idea how you get it yet. But we saw it in a German picture.
We did. This is very true.
I
but
don't
then they
know
could
how
have done
you
the
unlock
method
it.
That we did. The other thing is that the collector's edition isn't actually that great.
It's not really it barely costs any extra. It's like a couple of quid extra.
Exactly. So,
it's not really... It is exactly what it's called. A collector's edition.
Yeah.
If you're into the Need for Speed series, you're a bit of a whore of the Need for Speed series, you'll want to get it. If you just want to play the game to race on it, if you've got the extra few pounds, then
and
sure.
And it also, if you want to play online, you don't really need the collector's edition because you're not going to benefit from those extra
Your only things you get the collector's edition in terms of gameplay are a few pre-tuned cars. Mm. You get the Conan's Egg, which I don't think you can get normally.
Not sure.
I think it's only...
I think you're right, yeah.
Unless you obviously get a trainer.
Fucking Switchblade.
So in it's like the PS2 or the Xbox version, for example, if you don't get the collector's edition, you don't get full stock, because you obviously can't download a trainer. You don't get the Conan's Egg, for example, which is no big deal, to be honest. It's just another supercar.
So overall, it's a good game.
It looks nice.
It looks nice. And so we give it a 7.5 out of 10, because we took an average, because you said a 7. I said an 8 simply because your problems with crashes and that. I haven't really found, and you know, I don't play it as much as you, so I haven't found all the flaws. I just play it as like a sideline game, because I like racing every now and then.
Well, okay, put it this way, for those crashes you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I went to I-29. All right, which I'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was playing it on their machines, the Packard Bell machines that we're using to do the qualifying rounds on, because I was trying to qualify for the finals, and it was crashing.
Yeah.
People can be good. It doesn't crash mid-race. Only crashes when you're loading things up, and it'll just close the game.
It just goes. I've only had it twice. One of the times was when I didn't have the disc in, so I assume that's probably why it fucked.
Possibly.
And, you know, so I play it much more casually than you. So it's almost like the comparison between like me playing Neverwinter Nights 2 and you playing Neverwinter Nights
2. Yeah, I barely played it.
You might think of that being better than me because I experience the bugs and that more than you, and so that knocks it down quite a bit. So 7, 7.5.
Yes, indeed.
Indeed.
Great game.
It is. Very good game. We just got two bits of news which we're just going to slide over.
Life. Oh, no, all right, the news, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
In that the PlayStation 3 has been released and people have been killing each other for them.
Apparently
and so. They haven't, but yeah. And the Wii has been released in the US by the time you hear this. It's actually tomorrow for us recording, so that could be quite interesting tomorrow for us in the morning. Well, it won't be released in the morning.
We can check out the news.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
PS3, Wii, you're out, basically.
I mean, it just only feels like yesterday we were talking about E3 and the
Revolution and the PS3 just copying the Wii's ideas and everything, and
the boomerang controller.
Exactly.
And now so, they've been released. They just sort of quietly got on
with things. Well, for us they did, because we are not filling the console scene, but still, I've not heard a whole lot.
You didn't even know that the PS3
was out. I didn't know the PS3 was out.
I was like, oh, the PS3's released. Like,
it is? Wii's out tomorrow, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, like,
I hope the PS3's been released. People have been queuing up and buying it outside shops, so I assume it has been released.
I assume so.
Yeah.
If they've been killing each other over it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, we'll play the Wii when it comes out eventually. Yep. I'll eventually get one. I know you'll eventually get one, but not straight away.
If anything, just for Twilight Princess.
And Super Smash Bros. Brawl.
Mm, yeah.
And maybe a few other good games. That's about it.
Mm.
But Proen's really looking forward to it.
Yeah, so we'll probably get him on maybe when the Wii's released.
Yeah,
here.
We'll get him to review the Wii for us.
I mean, we've got a few weeks yet, so he'll probably come on and be like, oh, my God, console fanboy.
Oh, my God.
So he'll probably take up the whole show.
He'll just probably say, I love the Wii, I love the Wii, I love the Wii, I love the Wii, I love the Wii.
Why aren't I playing the Wii? I love the Wii.
I want to go back to the... Can I bring the Wii in the suite, please?
Yeah.
In our recording suite. Oh, can I hook the Wii up to this monitor? Oh, thank you. Can I play the Wii now? Yeah, cool. Yeah, Wii, Wii, Wii.
Oh dear. But yeah, so moving on to life, and first thing is that I went to York University Open Day.
You did?
Which is why I didn't go to Y29.
Which is an annoyance.
Yes, but it wasn't, simply because they gave me a place.
Woo!
So long as I get 2 A's and a B.
Congratulations, Jelana.
Thank you very much. One of the A's being in maths, then I will be... Ouch. Yeah, I know. Well, no, actually, maths is all right. It's the physics and the business that is not so good. With a bit of luck, I'll be going to York. This will be my first choice for the past 2 years or something. I've always been like, oh my god, York, so cool. Because, like, yeah, they have a brilliant course, and it's cool. So it's quite a long way, though, admittedly. It's like,
although
you
won't be massively far from where I want to go.
Yeah,
because I want to go to Preston.
Ah.
Because they have Pacific Asian studies.
Ah.
Which means I can learn Japanese.
Excellent.
So, yeah, it was well worth missing I-29 for it.
It was.
Because it means you got your first place university choice, as long as you get the grade.
Because while I was at York University.
Enjoying the... breathing in the heavy medieval smell of York and...
lounging in the postgraduate accommodation watching a QI.
I, on the other hand, was sleeping in a freezing cold tent... Wasn't great.
I bet it wasn't.
But yes, I was at I-29.
Yes, the 29th in the Insomnia series from Multiplay.
Insomnia series is great.
That's just what it's called.
It's
great. I didn't know that until I saw it on BitTech.
Although it's not insomnia, to be honest, because most people sleep.
Yeah, I know, but it's just called the insomnia series.
But I won't be able to sleep the next time it's that fucking cold. Oh, God, it was cold. Yeah. But yeah, so Mixed Wizard, DeFay, and myself.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
Whatever. We went to I-29 together.
Yep.
We sat on the ground floor, which was, I think, a good idea.
It was, in
by DeFay, so I'm not, you know, I think last show I probably...
said he's
I called him like a noob or something about it because
move, yeah.
he wants to move us. But now I'm glad he did because there was more stuff downstairs and it was much better downstairs. Mm. I'm going to go into a more in-depth talk about
we'll
it.
We'll start with that next show so we get that done.
And we'll talk about it more and to give a day-to-day recount. I'll write something on the forum probably.
Cool. And you'll probably collaborate with Mix and also write stuff.
Yeah, stuff Mix will do stuff. He's still got loads of pictures he needs to upload. Mm-hmm. He can give them to you and you can
I'll put them on
the Flickr.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. So, yeah.
Mm, awesome. Finally, we got some shouts and plugs.
We have indeed.
I got a shout to a friend of mine called Antonia, and I've written for being cool because I couldn't think of anything else. So shouts to you.
Just a shouts to her, basically.
Yep, shouts.
And also plugs to multiplay.co.uk, well, simply because they host I-29.
They do.
And all the other Insomnia events, mm-hmm. which are great, and thanks to them for providing a really good time.
Mm. And also to scan.co.uk for some low-cost prices. We're not sponsored by them. We're just, like, promoting them. Sponsor us.
They have some good computers you could play on, though.
Yeah, they do, yeah. And also for the Booth Babes, which there are some photos of on Multiplay's website. And
yes.
Apparently, it was so funny. Mix is like... because they were giving out the free XFX drinks, and he was like, they just kept handing them to me, so I said, just... going back for more. It's like, yeah, the drinks. Yeah.
The drinks, I'm sure.
Yeah, the drinks.
Yeah, the drinks.
Drinks.
The
yeah.
drinks that you want, though, aren't available.
Mm. Yeah. And also, you can
shouts again to Mix and DeFay for coming along.
Yep.
And it was a good laugh.
Mm. So that wraps up the show.
It does wrap up the show.
That was short, he says.
It was a short
show.
Yeah.
So contact us on email us, show@lifeinhex.com.
Or visit us on the forum at lifeinhex.com/forum.
Or visit us on IRC at irc.hat5.org, little channel #, lifeinhex.
Pound hash, whatever it's
whatever,
called.
Yep.
Yeah, lifeinhex.
And Skype us at Gelada or...
Haopian.
Yes.
Which is HAOPIAN.
I just thought I'd put that because I noticed you were using Skype out earlier and you like seem to be on Skype a bit.
Yes, I am more because I've got Skype installed and I'm using Skype out.
So yeah, time to game, I think.
It's time to game because we have a gaming weekend ahead of us.
We do, because I've owed you this since your birthday.
Yes, you have. And we haven't had one for fucking ages and we both love them.
Yep, we do. So,
yeah.
See you all later on.
Toodle pipski.
Adios.
Recording?
Yes.
Oh, fuck. I didn't actually know we were recording.
Hello and welcome back.
We're gonna... Okay, right. This can go outtakes or something.
Uh-huh.
Here's a challenge for the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do a... like a voice version of our opening song,
mm-hmm.
send it in and we'll play it. You probably like saying, oh, what's he on about? Oh, this cell phone person is very, very shitty at
yes.
his manga reviews.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh.
Standing up podcast, you know. Big crowd. Hyde Park. Hello.
Hyde Park! Yeah! We roll!
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah.
Life and Exit, Hyde Park.
Yes.
Not gonna happen.
No. I'm really missing the sarcasm.
You
today,
are!
Really, really missing it.
Or whatever. Although not that you should ever have a roof scoop. Please don't say you have a roof scoop.
I did on Mastermind DB1.
You heretic! No!
I just thought it looked cool.
No, it doesn't look cool. It looks nasty.
Yeah, well, never mind.
Whatever.